Well, it is good to be together. If you noticed behind me, we've got something very exciting set up. That's a baptistry, if you didn't know what that was. We're going to have a baptism at the end of service today. So I'm very excited for that. But before we do that, we're going to look at a few scriptures together. And you could be turning in your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to look there together to start. And the baptism is going to be the real inspiring part of service, but we're going to look at some scriptures before that and talk for a minute. You know, we just finished our Ephesians series, and we did that for about 6 weeks. We were going through the book of Ephesians one chapter at a time, and we've got a few exciting things coming up, as we just heard. We've got the Campus Sunday next week. We've got the Caribbean Sunday the following week. We've got Easter after that, and then we're getting into Missions May, which is something we've been doing the last few years to really gear up and get our hearts in position to be ready to give for our special missions contribution in June. So we're going to have a lot of guest speakers in May coming in and talking about the different ministries that we support, talking about life on the mission field to just help our hearts get ready for that. So a lot of exciting things coming up. But today we're kind of in the middle of all of that. You know, the Ephesians series is done, and we've got all these things planned out for the next few months here. And so today, what I wanted to do is just talk for a minute about a little bit of spring cleaning. You know, today's the first Sunday of spring, and we are going to talk about spring cleaning a little bit. How many of us have already done some spring cleaning? Wow, that's pretty, you're on it. That's good. You're already getting the jump there. It's only been a few days, so I know if you haven't, don't get stressed out. Don't get worried. But that's a common thing, right? We take some time in the spring to kind of take inventory of where we're at, maybe clean up a little bit, get rid of some things, and straighten some things around. But, you know, that's what we're going to do here this morning spiritually. We're going to do some spring cleaning. That doesn't mean we're going to kick all the unspiritual people out. That's not what we're doing. We're going to talk about where we're at and take stock and look around and evaluate and see how we need to grow and where we need to move forward. But, you know, it's been encouraging as a region. I feel like God has been doing some great things. We've been able to see some encouraging things happen here this year in the Long Island region. We've got our Long Island leadership team established, which is very encouraging. I think we've seen some great things in our marrieds ministry, seeing the workshops happening monthly and just having a lot of strengthening time for our marrieds ministry. We've been doing our repentance series on Wednesdays. The men and women have been going through the book Repentance and studying out, you know, how to change, how to be more like Jesus and focusing on spiritual growth. So that's been encouraging. And really, now we've been also meeting in our D groups for some time now. So that's been exciting too, seeing every member of our church in discipling relationships. That's something that I think is inspiring and that God is pleased with. So we're very encouraged about some of the things God is doing on the regional level. And so this morning, what we're going to do is kind of take a personal evaluation a little bit, to look at ourselves personally and take stock too, and think about, you know, where we need to go in our spiritual journeys. You know, maybe we started the year with some goals, with some vision, with some dreams of what God was going to do in our spiritual lives. Maybe you had a plan, and maybe we're a couple months in now, and I don't know how that plan is going. Maybe we're on course, but maybe we're not. And so it's helpful to have some check-in times, to look at ourselves, to think about how things are going, to evaluate. And that's what we're going to do this morning here briefly together. You know, the character that we're going to look at to do that is one of the greatest Christians who's ever lived, and that's Peter. We're going to look at Peter's journey of faith this morning. And we're just going to see different parts of his spiritual life and what they looked like and how he navigated through them to really become, again, one of the greatest Christians who ever lived. You know, we can all relate to Peter. Peter's great because he's so relatable, isn't he? The character that we see, the man he was that we see in the Bible, it really is someone that I think all of us can relate to on some level. You know, he lived a life of incredible highs and some really embarrassing lows, didn't he? He went from kind of the mountaintop experience to saying some silly things to Jesus about building shelters because he didn't know what was going on. And Jesus kind of helped him understand. But highs and lows, those are things that we go through as Christians. You know, I don't know if any of you are following March Madness and the Sweet 16 rounds that were just recently over the past few days. But If you saw the Florida-Wisconsin game, there were some highs and lows there. It was a good game, but to the end, there was a close score, and Wisconsin actually hit a buzzer-beater three. The guy was on 1 foot and threw up a three-pointer to tie it and send it into overtime. And so imagine the elation that they felt, you know, thinking the game was lost, all hope was lost. He throws up a prayer, and it goes in, and they get sent into overtime. You know, new life, a new chance to be able to win. But what did Florida do? If you saw the SportsCenter highlight, you know that Florida had a buzzer beater of their own. This is actually the first two buzzer beater shots of the whole tournament. And Florida, in overtime, was also down. They were down by two. And they, at the last second, threw up a buzzer beater three to win it. You can imagine what Wisconsin was feeling. You know, just a few minutes earlier, feeling like, yes, we can win this. We've got a chance. And then just having the wind totally swept out of their sails with that three-pointer at the buzzer. It was an amazing game, but the highs and lows of life, that's something Peter knew well. And it's something that as Christians, we know well too, don't we? We go through highs, we go through lows. But Peter was able to navigate through that until he achieved the greatness that God called him to. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Achieving greatness. Peter achieved greatness in his spiritual walk with God. But he went through some highs and lows. He went through some ups and downs getting there. And that's what we're going to look at, some of the interactions that he had and some of the learning lessons that he had here. We'll start in Matthew 18, just something that Jesus said to him. Matthew 18 and verse 15. Jesus says, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Imagine hearing Jesus say that to you. "On this rock I'll build my church." What amazing words for someone like Jesus to share with you. That was what Peter experienced that day. And I think God had a great plan and a great vision for his life. But until he got there, Peter did go through some ups and downs. His faith journey, I think, is really an example for all of us. You know, a lot of scholars debate about what this means. You know, if you go to a Catholic theologian, they'll tell you that this means that Peter was the first pope. That's what Jesus was saying there. And then some Protestant theologians will tell you, well, actually, I think it's more about the faith that Jesus is recognizing in Peter, and that's the rock that was going to build his church. But one way I think we can look at it, one thing that's true of Peter, is that his faith journey is really an example of the fundamental story of all who would be a part of God's church. And so when we look at his story, it really is a foundation that all of us are going to go through at some point. The ups and downs, getting to the spiritual greatness that God desires for us. On this rock, I'll build my church. We're going to look at that rock a little bit, that journey, and see what Peter was like. You know, for all of us, it's kind of a similar journey. We all go through different experiences, but the gospel story in all of our lives really looks the same. You know, it starts with a dream of great things, a great life of fulfillment, of purpose that God puts in the hearts of men. Actually, Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that. It says, "He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end." God puts that in people, a longing for something more than this life can offer. That's where it starts for all of us in our faith journey, a desire to see great things done in our lives, a desire for a life of fulfillment and purpose. But what happens? We want to do God's will. We want to do the right thing. We want to be good, but we all fail. We all mess up. And that's, again, what the Bible says in Romans 3:23. All have fallen short of the glory of God. It makes no difference. But the story, if we have hope of reaching where God wants us to get, it can't end there with failure. It can't end with, oh, well, I guess it's unattainable. No, we can't give up on God's dream for our lives because of that. The last part of the faith journey is understanding this, that because of Jesus, we can overcome our failures and our inability, and that what God desires in our lives can be achieved. Romans 8, verse 3. I love the NLT version of this, so I'm going to read that here. Romans 8, verse 3. It says this: the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. The story doesn't end with our failure. God looked at the situation and said, okay, I'll provide a solution. I'll provide my son to solve the problem that we, as people desiring to be like God, have. And that was Peter's story. That's the gospel story. It's all of our story. It's the story on which God's church is built. And so this morning, we want to look at Peter's story here, just a couple quick points about how Peter navigated through those highs and lows, how he walked on his spiritual journey, and how he ultimately achieved greatness in his spiritual life for God. Do you want to achieve greatness in your spiritual life? I don't know. I see a lot of heads nodding, kind of rolling around. We got to wake up. Do we want to achieve spiritual greatness for God? Because I don't really want to talk to a group that doesn't want to achieve spiritual greatness for God. We've got to be inspired by what God is calling us to do. God wants you to have a great and fulfilling and powerful life. But you can't have that apart from Jesus. Peter figured that out. And it started with a little lesson he learned in a boat. Look in Mark chapter 1. The first key to achieving spiritual greatness is you got to buy in. You've got to buy in to the dream that God has for your life. Mark chapter 1, verse 16. I'm going to need my Bible. That's the one scripture I didn't write down. All right, here we go. Mark 1 and verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, that's Peter, and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. This is where his journey started with Jesus. You know, in Peter's life, God really destined him and designed him to be something great, to be a prophet, a preacher, a leader, an example. Right here, God called him to be a fisher of men, to be a kingdom builder, to not only be a part of God's church, but to build God's church, to be able to influence and teach others and inspire others. But first, Peter himself had to be inspired. He had to be able to look past his situation there in his life and dream of a new life, a different life, something better. And he had to buy into the vision that Jesus was selling that day. Peter, we see, had no problem with this, right? What's Peter's response? It says, without delay, they left their nets and followed him. For Peter, it was easy for him to have ambition, to dream God's dream for his life, and to buy in. You know, that might not be you. Maybe you feel like at one point you had a lot of ambition, but maybe that's not you right now. Maybe you're visiting here today, and this is your first time, and you're wondering about Jesus and Christianity, but really, this is where Peter was at, if that's your situation. Peter was standing there in the boat, looking at his life, and looking at the life that Jesus offered him, a life that was so much bigger and so much better and so far beyond what he could have imagined as a first century fisherman. Maybe that's you right now. Maybe you've looked elsewhere for what you're longing for in your heart, for what God put in your heart for you to search for. Well, Jesus came to Peter in that boat and said, come follow me. That's the only solution. That's the only place where you're going to find it. For Christians, maybe we've lost sight. Maybe we've lost ambition. Maybe we've lost focus on God's vision and calling for our lives. And that's why we got to do a little bit of spring cleaning this morning. Amen? We've got to do some cleaning and evaluate what's important and what's not in my life. This is a call to refocus, to dream what God dreams for your life, to buy in. Are you bought in to what God is dreaming of doing in your life? Are you bought in to what God is dreaming of doing in this region? You know, I appreciate when Alan prayed for contribution. You know, we obviously can pray about a lot of things when we're having our contribution time or any prayer, really. But I love Alan's thinking not just of what we have right now, but he's connecting. You know, we're giving because we're dreaming of something much bigger than this group right here. We're dreaming of something so far beyond, you know, even just filling the seats in this room. We want to have another worship center meeting at 10 a.m. where we're filling those seats too, and another, and another. That's the dream that God has for the people in Long Island and for our region here, for the church. God dreams not just for our situation now, but for us to look beyond and to think about how we can be used by him to achieve that and to achieve spiritual greatness. What dream are we dreaming this morning? Maybe this is hard for you. Maybe you're easily distracted. Maybe you're lacking ambition. Maybe you have misplaced ambition. Maybe you're dreaming the wrong dream. Well, if that's you, let's look at what helped Peter. What helped Peter? You know, I think in his life, as Peter kind of went on his journey with Jesus, and even before this interaction, Peter saw the kind of life that Jesus was living. And I think he wanted to have that too. You know, you don't just follow someone because they asked you to. You don't just get out of the boat and start walking if you don't know the person and you don't know what kind of life you're getting yourself into. Peter left everything for a new life, for something bigger. But it's because he had seen Jesus. And I think seeing Jesus helps us buy in. It helps us really invest and give all of ourselves to the life that Jesus is calling, to the dream that Jesus is calling us to fulfill. You know, he looked at Jesus. He saw, what did he see? He saw power and a man at peace. That's what Jesus demonstrated to Peter. Jesus was a man of authority, a man of power. But he was also a man who was so clearly at peace. You know, with everything people were saying about him, all of the difficulties he went through, he was at peace. That's what people want. That's what we want. We want lives that are meaningful, that feel like we can do something for God, that we can be powerful in the spiritual realm and help other people. But we also want to be at peace. You know, there's so many things that war at our peace, that try to get in our minds and get us distracted from the peace that we have in Jesus. Jesus lived a life of perfect peace, but that's not the only things he saw. What about his interactions with others? You know, he saw someone who was serving, loving, helping. And what I think is so interesting is that if you look at the world at large, even the world knows there's something right about those things, right? I mean, you look at all the different charities that there are, all the different, places you can donate money to, and, you know, the great things that all these organizations, the Red Cross and everybody does to help and just serve people and love people. We know inside, even apart from God and Jesus, that there's something right about that. These are the things the world upholds, and most people are pursuing at least one of these things. But that was the life Jesus demonstrated to Peter, and it was the life that he called him to that day in the boat. The life he's calling us to is one of greatness because it is one of service. You know, as much as we can pursue our desires and the things we want and the things that are going to put us ahead and make us successful and make us feel great about ourselves, Jesus' life was one of service. And a life of service, especially spiritual service, is something that brings fulfillment that can't be found anywhere else. That's the life that Peter saw when he looked at Jesus, one of service. And he understood that this wasn't just the life that he was calling Peter to, but it was the life he was going to call everyone to, and really use Peter to call others to. And so I just want us to refocus this morning and think for a minute. What am I dreaming about? Am I bought in to the dream that Jesus had and what I would be a part of as a Christian? That when I stepped out of the boat, when I started walking with Jesus, that I believed in wholeheartedly, that I was giving myself all into. Are you still giving yourself all in? Are you still bought into that today? Because I know there's things that come and they really, really want to distract us from what Jesus wants. Satan loves to use distraction. We talked about spiritual warfare last week and how we've got to have our armor on because he's got every scheme, every trick, every play in the book lined up to take you out. We've got to stay bought in. We can't get distracted. We've got to use the opportunities God gives us and understand this is what I'm here for. This is my purpose. This is why God called me. We've got to be bought in. But we can't give in either. And that's our second point. Don't give in. Give in to what? Look over in Luke 22. Luke 22 and verse 31. You've got to buy in this morning, but you can't give in. Look in Luke 22. This is before Jesus was about to be taken out to be killed. And he's talking with Peter, Simon Peter. And this is, listen again to what he says. Peter had some incredible conversations with Jesus. I mean, the things that Jesus said to him, I wonder what my jaw would look like. You know, what my reaction would be if I heard some of the things that Jesus said to him. Obviously, the first one that we read was so encouraging. But look at this one. Luke 22, verse 31. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. Peter was pretty confident. And Jesus just looked at him and shook his head and said, you don't even know. You don't know how Satan's going to get you. You don't know what he's going to do to you. He's going to try to sift you, he says. He's going to try to take the fact that you've denied me and knock you out with it. We know the story. We know Peter did deny Jesus as he was being led to trial. He denied him three times. I don't even know the man. What are you talking about? He called down curses on himself and said, get away from me. I don't know him. And right at that moment, the rooster crowed. And I love where the Bible says Jesus turned and looked right at him. And you can imagine that feeling when Jesus' eyes pierced his soul right there. The brokenness, the guilt, the shame, the failure. Here's this man that just a little bit ago I said I would go to prison and die with you. Here I am denying that I even know him. What a mess I am. What a failure I am. How can I claim to be a follower of him from here? How can I continue to live claiming that he's the Messiah, that he's the Lord? You know, no one likes to fail. Peter had a big failure right here. You know, it was great hearing Dave share about the week with the girls, and it was a good timing, because this morning Tiffany and I had a few words about my lack of help that I've been providing. So it was encouraging and convicting, bro, so thank you. Nobody likes to be a failure. Nobody likes to fall short of expectations. Nobody likes to feel like they were defeated. That's how Peter felt that day. But what was the vision God had for Peter? God created him to be a leader, to be a champion of the gospel, to be a prophet, a great preacher, a premier figure of the early church. He was the one that was supposed to have the keys to the kingdom. But first he had to learn from being a failure. He had to have this experience and decide, what are you going to do with it? And that's the truth for all of us. You know, as Christians, none of us is perfect. We just read that scripture. None of us claim to be perfect. But it's what we do when we fail that really matters. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. What did you do this week that you feel guilty about? Peter said, I don't even know that guy. What are you talking about? Jesus? No, not me. That wasn't me with him. How about in our lives? What does our failure look like? You know, sometimes I think we get so weighed down by failure. And we let Satan not only beat us in the failure, but then use the failure to totally knock us out, to totally take us out of the picture for God, and to make us powerless. And we start looking at our failure instead of Jesus and his grace and his forgiveness and his desire for us to get up and to grow and to learn. You know, not only did Peter deny him 3 times, but think about when Jesus told them to wait, that he would meet them. And Peter was the first one to get up and say, I'm going fishing. And he went back out in the boat and started fishing. You know, I don't know all of what that meant. I don't know where Peter's conviction was that day. But that certainly wasn't, his mind wasn't on the things that Jesus said to be thinking about. Peter's life was full of failure. But he had unwavering faith. He knew, I'm not giving in, and I'm not going to give up. Giving up is the easiest thing that you can do, right? If you're striving for something, just full on quitting. That's the easiest thing that you can do. Peter could have easily quit right there. Judas quit, didn't he? Judas had a failure. He went a little bit of a different direction with that failure. Peter did something arguably just as bad, right? He denied even knowing this person that he said, I'll die with you. But what did he do? How did he bounce back? He had unwavering faith. He did. He changed his life. He looked at what Jesus had to offer, and he fixated his mind on that and not on his failure. Fixing our eyes on Jesus and letting him be the source of our confidence is the key to not giving in and giving up. You're gonna fail. Jesus told Peter, Simon, you're gonna fail. And when you turn back, though, take care of your brothers. Strengthen your brothers. Jesus was already planting the seed to help him get through the failure. He's saying, no, it's not a question of if you're gonna fail. You're going to. But don't give in. Don't let it knock you out. Don't let it take you down for good. Jesus gave him confidence to know what to do with his failure. Seeing our failures instead of fixing our eyes on Jesus leads us to have fear of failing again and to become totally ineffective for God. And that's exactly what Satan wants. God made you to dream so far beyond our lives here, but also our failures. Just because you've become overwhelmed and you've failed doesn't mean God's become overwhelmed. It doesn't mean that God is stopped just because we were stopped in our tracks. God is our source of confidence. God is our source of strength because he's got power that we don't have. And he's got grace that we need. You've got to get back up. If you're feeling like a failure this morning, if you're feeling like, man, I blew it this week, if you're feeling like I've got things I need to change, well, you've got 2 choices. You either bring that to God, and you change, and you figure out how to grow, Or you can give up and you can give in like Satan wants you to. We've got to be faithful. We've got to persevere. We've got to go in God's strength so that we can see the greatness that he desires in our lives. You know, one of the great things about Peter in the Bible is that we really get to see him in so many different phases of this journey, so many different stages of his life. You know, he ended his life as that bold preacher, that church leader, that impactful man that Jesus dreamed he'd be. Only after giving everything he had in pursuit of God's vision for him. You know, we see Peter briefly before he's called in the Gospels. And then we see him all throughout the Gospels while he's with Jesus, following Jesus. And then, as we said, we see his weakness and his failure there at the end. But then what do we see after that? Restoration. We see Peter bounce back. And we see him become the movement leader in the book of Acts. The one that was going to stand up and preach the life-giving salvation message of the gospel. And he becomes the author of some of the letters that are found in the Bible. If you think you had a bad week and that you're beyond hope, look at Peter's life. Look at his story. You don't have to give in. You don't have to give up. You're not a lost cause. Spring cleaning is all about getting rid of the junk and getting in the good stuff that you need. You know, get rid of the junk. Okay, maybe you do have some failures. Maybe you do need to deal with some stuff. So deal with it. Don't quit. God doesn't want you to quit. God's not quitting on you. Peter was faithful to the end. He was bought in. He didn't give in. And he really gave all in for God. I love seeing the end of Peter's life and some of the things that he wrote in the letters there in 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And we'll end by reading a passage and seeing what Peter was focused on. But I want to encourage us, let's do some cleaning today. Let's take stock and see what's going on with us, what we've got inside. And let's see where we need to grow from here. Let's buy in to the dream, to the vision that God has. Let's see beyond right now, the bigger picture that God has planned for our lives, and give our hearts to it. God has a dream for your life to have meaning and impact. And lastly, don't give in. Persevere. Believe. Overcome failure, fear, and be faithful. As I said, we'll close in 1 Peter chapter 1 as we get ready for the most inspiring part of our service, the most encouraging part. But look at what Peter says here. Towards the end of his life, after he had been through the highs and lows, after he had done some cleaning and persevered through the failures and made it to the end, look at the incredible words that he's able to not only think about for himself, but teach others and try to encourage us with. This is what he was focused on. Verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer griefs and all kinds of trials. Why did these come? So that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And the church said, amen. Peter gives us an incredible picture of what his mind was focused on. Man, I've made it through the trials. Yeah, you're going to go through trials. It's going to be hard, he says. But these have come so that your faith may be proven genuine, so that you can endure, so that you don't give in, so that God sees that you're in it with him, for the long haul, and that you're bought in and invested in seeing what he wants to do in your life and in the church that you get to be a part of. God desires greatness for our lives. Let's achieve greatness together as Peter did. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. At this time, I'm going to invite the women up, and we're going to have a baptism.